All right, I will say good morning. Let's begin. So today's daf is Mem Vav. We're actually picking up from the top of Mem Vav, three lines down. Says the Gemara, Itmar, Kitana sheniskat shel shlo das avia. So if you have a Kitana who became Mikudeshes without the consent of her father. Remember, again, this is the topic that we've been heavily involved in for the last number of days. So she becomes, remember, all of this Gemara is taking place independent of the sheet of Ula. Because Ula is the one who already told us that Lenaisa, Ikitana who becomes Niskacha Shlola Dasavia, that ultimately the Kiddushin is not good to begin with. But again, according to all the other Shitos, so if Ikitana becomes Mikudesh Shlola Dasavia, so Amarav, Bein Hi Ubein Aviha Yicholin La'akev. Either her or her father have the ability to block the Kiddushin. Ravasi says, Aviha Velohi. Her father and not her has the ability to block the Kiddushin. Now, understand what we're talking about over here. If you look at Rashi, Rashi says over here, Rashi says, Bekasaka daitcha befisa befito l'shem kiddushin ashmo inon kra ulamemer demati hadraba. So we'll say, so now with the Gemara, Rashi is pointing out over here, we're going to see, the Gemara is going to make this clear from the pasuk, it's about the darshan. We're talking about over here about a situation of the Mefuta. The Mefuta is the man who seduces a Nara. And we're talking about over here, Rashi assumes right now, that we're talking about a case of a man who seduces a woman for the sake of Kiddushin. So this is a case where he seduced her, he had relations with her, he said the relations with her for the purpose of affecting Kiddushin, bless you. So Rav's saying now, after that act of relations took place, Rav said either the girl or the father have the ability to go ahead and say that they do not want the Kiddushin. Ravasi, on the other hand, said that only the father has that ability and not her. Ravasi raised the kashrut Ravasi, but Amri lei chia barav Ravasi. Others say it was chia barav who raised the kashrut Ravasi. Imain yimain aviha. So the pasuk says if her father will refuse. And this is talking about the case of the mafuta. This is talking about the case of the man who seduces the woman. So the pasuk says imain yimain aviha lesita lo kasef yishkol kumar basulos. There's a knas. There's a penalty payment that is leveled upon the mafuta, that is leveled upon the individual seduces a nara. So the pasuk says, if the father refuses to give her as a wife to the mafuta, he must pay. The mafuta must pay. Ainli elaviha. I only know if the father refuses to allow his daughter to enter into this union. He atzma minayin. How do we know about the girl herself that she has the ability to refuse this arrangement? Talmud Lomar, Imain Yimain Mikomakom. The pasuk says Ma'in Yimain, the double lashon, the Rabbosei indicates that what? That it's more than just the father who has the ability to refuse this setup, but the girl has the ability as well. Amaluhu Rav. So Rav said to them, Lo tezlu basar ipcha. Look at Rashi. Lo tezlu basar ipcha davar she'eno. Don't follow a drasha that is incorrect. Well, Rav saying, I disagree with the drasha you just made. Yachal l'shanuye l'chu. I could explain this particular pasuk as referring to the following case. Kegon shepita shalo l'shem ishus. That it's talking about a case where he seduced her, not for the sake of this. Meaning, how do you know that, remember, we're trying to focus on a very specific case here, where a man seduced a woman for the purposes of Kiddushin. So now the Gemara is suggesting, Machloksin Rav and Ravasi, is who has the ability to ex post facto refuse this Kiddushin. To which Rav just says, by the way, who says the pasuk over here is talking about a case where there was seduction for the sake of Kiddushin? Maybe it was just a stam seduction without the intention for Kiddushin. So the Gemara says, Pita shlolu shumishus. If it's a situation ultimately again of where he seduced her, not for the sake of affecting marriage, kra boy, do I need a pasuk to teach me that the father has the ability or the father has the right not to give her over in Kiddushin? As we'll say, if the man seduced the father's daughter, not for the sake of Kiddushin, do I need a drasha to teach me that the father does not have to give his daughter to this man as a wife? Take a look at Rashi. Kraboy, it's almost right across in Rashi. It is right across in Rashi. Kraboy, Lameimar Da'aviyah Yachol La'akif. Do I need a pasuk to teach me that the father has the ability to not give his daughter over to this man as a wife? V'chein hi. So too, do I need a pasuk to teach me that the girl has the right to refuse this arrangement? Omehechi teisilan la'osra bahi bi'ila la'meimar kiddushin. In other words, we'll say, what's the havamina? What's the havamina to say that the girl or the father doesn't have the right to refuse marriage to the mafuta? Doesn't make any sense. Rather, the Gemara says, Amrav Nachar Mar Yitzchak Lomar Shemeshan Knas Kimufuta. Oh, no, what it does teach me is the following, Rabbosai. that in the situation where the man seduced the woman, and let's say again the father or the girl does not go ahead and want to enter into this marriage, the pasuk is necessary to teach me that the mafuta, the seducer, must still pay the fine. In other words, we'll say, what's the havamina? The havamina is like this. Maybe when a man seduces a woman, so he says to her, look, I seduced you, fine, I'll marry you. Fine, I'll marry you. Right? But that's the offer on the table, right? It's marriage or bust, right? So, and again, if you refuse the marriage offer, then maybe I, the mafuta, I, the seducer, should not have to pay the fine. Kamash malon, that is not the case. Kamash malon, that even if the father of the girl or the girl herself refuses the marriage proposition, nevertheless, the mafuta must still pay the fine. Look at Rashi. Ara nachman lomar shemishalim kineski mafuta. Kra lav lo ishmoin heter etzterich. The chiddush of the pasuk of Hosea is that even if the girl refuses the marriage proposition, he must still go ahead and pay the knas, pay the penalty payment in accordance to the law of the man who's duzlum shetala cost of knasa the miyuna av. How can I tell the miyundi this? So also I said the chiddush over here is that ima'ein yema'ein teaches me that it's not just the father who has the right to refuse the marriage proposition, but the girl has the right to refuse the marriage proposition as well. And in the event that she refuses the marriage proposition, the mafuta, the seducer, must go ahead and pay the fine. If that's the case, if this drasha is true, if the Rashi points out, siyohu, Rav Yosef is coming to back up that which we just learned. When the pasuk says, Mahariya maharena lo li isha, the father can give her over ultimately again to this man as a wife. Shetzricha himena kiddushin. What does that mean? Yamari maharena lo li isha means that if the mafuta chooses to marry, or I should say, if the girl and her father choose that she should marry this man, he has to give her additional kesef kiddushin, ve'impita l'shum kiddushin, l'shem ishos kiddushin lamali. But if you want to say that the case is talking about a case where he seduced her for the sake of effecting kiddushin, in that case, be kiddushin babiyah, then why would there be any more requirement for additional kesef kiddushin? Because Abaye said, you see from here, that's what? That in order for the Kiddushin to work, the Kiddushin has to be Ladas Aviha. So also, if you bring this all together, what this comes down to is the following. In the event that the girl was seduced, so the way we are passing is that Halacha L'maisa, either the girl or her father have the ability to block the marriage. Meaning, again, the Torah says that if a man seduces a woman, so part of the penalty that he has to pay is that he has to marry her. So however, again, that's only assuming that the father or the daughter want the marriage. But either the father or the daughter, this is why we pass on like Rav, either the father or the daughter have the ability to block the marriage. Furthermore, again, if he does choose, let's say they do choose to go forward with the marriage, halacha l'maisa, the mafuta, the seducer, has to pay additional kesef kiddushin and cannot claim that he had das for kiddushin when he was mafata, when he seduced her. In other words, say if he wants the chaparayin, he could say, I had in mind for kiddushin when I seduced her. It was kiddushin bebiya. So we don't accept such a claim like that. Rather, again, lemaisa, if he is going to marry, meaning if the father and daughter agree to the marital arrangement, halach lemaisa, he must give her additional kesef kiddushin.
Is the daughter minor? At this point.
The daughter is a Nara. The daughter is a Nara, correct. Because remember, she has to be a Nara or lower, or younger, excuse me. Because again, remember, once she's a Gedola, then the father has no say in any of these things.
If she's younger, how could she reject the wedding?
Oh, because remember again, because even if she's a katana, she could voice what she wants. We saw this over Yontiv, before Yontiv. This idea that a father should not marry off his daughter, even if she's a katana, unless she has the ability to go in and say, I do want this or I don't want this. So even though she's a katana, we allow her to voice her opinion in this. Says the Mishnah. Suppose we're actually now going to do a Mishnah that we actually learned earlier. Ha'omer le'isha, hiskachili betamrazu, hiskachili bezu. So a man is being mekadesh woman with date, and he says to her, become mekudeshes to me with this date. So the case over here is he's giving her multiple dates, and every single time he gives her a date, he makes the declaration of become mekudeshes to me with this. Become mekudeshes to me with this. So there's a separate articulation of kiddushin with each date. So what's the halacha? Imesh ba'achas min shavah pruta mikudeshes. So as long as one of the dates has a shavah pruta, she is in fact mikudeshes. And as we'll say, remember, we saw this case earlier. The idea over here is because he's articulating a separate hari'at mikudeshes li, or tiskachi li bezu, because he's articulating a different lashon of kiddushin with each date. Therefore, we look at each date independently. Therefore, as long as there is one date that is worth a shavah pruta, we're good. Ve'imlav. However, if none of the dates independently are worth a shavah pruta, inim kudesh. What's the novelty there? Let's say he gave her five dates, right? But so again, so he gives her five dates. Now, obviously, the composite value of those dates will be a pruta. But let's say again, let's say even though the composite value of the dates is a pruta, but the independent value, there's no one date that's worth a pruta. So what's the halacha? She's not mikudeshes. I will say again, so we saw this earlier. The logic being, since he articulated a separate lashon of kiddushin by each and every date, therefore at least one of those dates must be worth a pruta in order to affect the kiddushin. However, if he says to her, bizu, ubizu, ubizu. But if he says to her, Hari'at nikudeshes li, or hiskachi li, betamrazu, ubezu, 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 become a kudesh li with this date, and with this date, and with this date, and with this date, then what's the halacha? Im yesh shavah pruta b'kulan nikudeshes. Then I will say, all we need to look for is what? That the total value of all the dates given are a pruta. What's the chilek between the first case and the second case? In the first case, he articulated a specific lashon of kiddushin for each date. Hiskachi li bezu, hiskachi li bezu, hiskachi li bezu. Therefore, each act of giving the date is a separate independent act. Therefore, one of those dates must contain a pruta. However, when he says hiskachi li betamrazu, ubezu, 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 he's linking them all together. Therefore, as long as the value, the sum total of the value of all the dates given is at least a pruta, then shall be mikudeshes. And if not, meaning if the sum total value of the dates is not a pruta, then ain't a mikudeshes, then she is not mikudeshes. Haisa ocheles rishon rishona. But let's say as she's getting the dates, she's eating them one by one. Ain't a mikudeshes. Ad shehe ba'achas ben shavah pruta. She is not mikudeshes until there is a shavah pruta in one of the dates. So obviously the Gemara is going to discuss what case is this referring to, meaning what case is this modifying here. Alright, so let's see the Gemara. Man tana hiskachi hiskachi. So we'll say, who is the opinion who says hiskachi hiskachi? Now, what does this mean? Who is the opinion who says that hiskachi hiskachi, look at Rashi, man tana hiskachi hiskachi, huda havi prata. So who is the opinion who says that when a man says to a woman, iskachli betam razu, that we look at each act of kiddushin, or each date, as a separate independent conveyance? Who is that? Amarab Rabbi Shimon. It's Rabbi Shimon. Do Amar ad sheyomar shvua l'chol echad ve'echad. Remember, we saw this, I think we saw this over Yontif, that Rabbi Shimon is of the opinion of say, remember, we had this case where, let's say, five people claim that I owe them money. What could it be? Four people. Reuven, Shimon, Levi, Yehuda all claim that I owe them money. They each claim that I owe them $1,000. So what happens? If I say I don't owe any of you anything, right, and I'm lying, it turns out I owe all of them money. So what's the halacha? I have to bring one carbon. If, however, I said, I swear I don't owe you money, I swear I don't owe you money, I swear I don't owe you money, I swear independently to all four of them, I'm chayiv four carbonos, four shvuah shah, for a false oath. I should need a secretary over here. Right? So if it turns out that I made a separate oath to each of them, then what? Then lemaisa again. Then I'm chayiv shvua l'chol echad ve'echad. So we'll say this is the opinion of Rabbi Shimon. So therefore, again, the Gemara suggests over here that the same Rabbi Shimon by Shavuos will be the same Rabbi Shimon over here. And Rabbi Shimon will say that lamaisa, if I say hiskachli betam razu, hiskachli betam razu, hiskachli betam razu, there's a separate kiddushin articulation for each date. Then we look at each date independently, and as long as one of those dates has a shavah pruta, that's fine. But we cannot look at the dates collectively, since there was a separate explicit kiddushin an articulation for each date that was given. On the other hand, again, but remember, Rabbi Shimon, now I want to be clear, Rabbi Shimon would not agree with this, would not disagree with the second case, meaning the second case of bizu'u, 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 bizu'u. Even Rabbi Shimon would agree in that case, that lamais, when you link them all together, all you need is that for the sum total of the dates, to have a shava pruta. So bizu'u, bizu'u, next case, bizu'u, bizu'u, miyesh bekulon shava pruta. So the Gemara says the following. So remember, now actually the Gemara is discussing the last phrase in the Mishnah. So remember, the last phrase in the Mishnah was, Rabosai, that if she's eating the dates as she gets them, okay, she's eating dates as she gets them, so the halacha is, Eina Mekudeshes, she's not Mekudeshes, until one of the dates has a Shavah Pruta. Okay? So now, Rabosai, the problem is, we don't know what case that statement is connected to, right? Is that, remember, let's be clear. There's a Reisha and there's a Seifa. The Reisha, the first case in the Mishnah, is his Kachli B'tam Razu, his Kachli B'tam Razu, his Kachli B'tam Razu. Separate Kiddushin articulations, and the Halacha is one of those dates must have a Shavah Pruta. That's the Reisha. Seifa case is his Kachli B'tam Razu, Ubezu, 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 where the Mishnah asking that what? As long as the sum total of the dates is a Pruta, she's Mekudeshes. Then the Mishnah adds in a last statement that if she's eating the dates as she's getting them, she's not Mekudeshes until or unless one of the dates is a Shavah Pruta. To which the Gemara asks, Ahia, what case is that statement modifying? Is that going on the Reisha? Is that going on the Seifa? Se'ilei ma'areisha, if you want to say it's going on the first case of the Mishnah, remember we'll say that's the case of what? His Kachli B'tam Rezu, his Kachli B'tam Rezu. Right? Bless you. Then might Yerya Ocheles. Why do you have to be, what, meaning who cares if she's eating it? Afilu manachas nami, deha iskachili bazookam. We'll say, you see, in the case, in the Reisha case, what are we looking for? We just need to make sure one of those dates is worth a Shavah Pruta. We don't care what she does with the date once she gets it, whether she puts it in her drawer and she goes ahead or she eats it. Makes absolutely no difference to us. What we're looking for over here is that there's a date that's a Shavah Pruta. As long as there's a date that's a Shavah Pruta, that's enough for us. So it can't be on the Reisha. Ela Aseifa. Rather, it must be on the Seifa case. Also, remember, what's the Seifa case? Listen to this. The Seifa case is, his kachidi bezu, 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 bezu. Now, what's the halacha on the Seifa case? What's the halacha? As long as the total is a pruta, you're okay. Now, watch this. So now what the Gemara is suggesting is, that now what's happening? She's eating the dates as she gets them. So watch this. Ela aseifa, vafila bekamaisa. Now, what you seem to be telling me is what? Vafrash said, afila bekamaisa. Afila bekamaisa. So now, remember, so I'm sorry. So now, if we read this correctly, what the Mishnah seems to be saying is the following. That if he says to her, is kachli betam razu, bazu, 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 and he's giving her the dates, and now the Mishnah says that what? She's eating them as she eats, she's eating them, thank you, as she gets them. So the Mishnah Paskin, as one of the dates, must be worth a Shavah Pruta. So look at Rashi. Rashi. And therefore the novelty of the Mishnah would be even the first date. Excuse me, what does this mean? Rashi says, Afilu b'kamaisa. V'afilu harishon o ashniya shavah pruta. And therefore the novelty would be that even if the first date or the second date are a Shavah Pruta, even if the last one is not a Shavah Pruta, she's still Mekudeshes. Someone says, well, 1 second. V'ha milvahi. So Gemara says there's another issue at play over here, Bosei, which is that what? When he's Mekadisher, when he says to her, Ak Mekudeshes li, betam, or his Kachili, betam razu, ubezu, ubezu, ubezu. What's his intent with that statement? His intent is that when is the Kiddushin complete? The Kiddushin complete is in the giving, after the giving of the last date. If that's the case, Abel said, then what? What's the status of the first date that she gives, that she receives? It's a milva. It's a loan.
Why isn't it a matana?
We're going to see why. We're going to see why. Because, so, Lemaisa, again, we're going to view that each and every date that she gets until the last date is a milva, is a loan. Look at Rashi. Vaha milvahi. Tkevan de kiddushin lo nigmaru. Acha tekablem kulam. Because since the kiddushin ultimately is not complete, until ultimately she receives all of the dates, the hikvar achlas harishona kodim shetikna osa bekiddusheha. And the problem is over here, if she's eating those dates as they come in, so ultimately, she's actually eating those dates before they're hers. So you will say the assumption over here is that his das. What's his das here? What's his das? He knows the guy's a smart guy, a little bit strange because he's using this mechanism, but nevertheless a smart guy. And what does he know? He knows that he needs to give her a shava pruta. So what is he doing? He's giving her the pruta in increments, date after date after date. He knows that the kiddushin is only valid and when until she gets that last date, because that closes out the unit of a pruta. What's the status of those dates as they come in? It's not a matana. Why? Because his intention is the dates aren't yours until when? Until when? Until you get the complete unit. It's only once you have a pruta of dates that this conveyance to you ultimately, again, is complete. Why doesn't he want to give it as a matana? Because I'm not giving this to you out of the goodness of my heart. I'm giving this set to you because ultimately I want to marry you. So again, so remember, for some reason, should you decide after date number three, this is not the guy for me, right? Then Lemaise, no pun intended, right? Then what? Then Lemaise, I don't want you to keep my dates, right? I want to be reimbursed for those dates. So this is not a matana. This is a halva. This is a halva. So we'll say it's a fascinating case. So literally what's happening over here is, every date he gives her until the final date that closes out the pruta unit is considered to be a halva. And she does not own the dates until she receives the final shavet pruta date. Look at Rashi again. Rashi says, "Kevin the kiddushin lo nigru ashet kablin kula." The kiddushin is not complete until she receives all of the dates. V'hi kvar achlas arishona kodem shetikna osa v'kiddushin. And she's already consumed the dates before she's acquired them by kiddushin. At the end of the day, this first date is a halva. It's a loan, meaning we'll say the status of the date is a halva up until the point that she receives the last date. So the Gemara says, 1 second. So this is a problem, Rabbi Yochanan. You're going to see it in just a moment. So listen to this expression. I'm Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan, this is really a wonderful expression. Hari shulchan v'hari baser v'hari sakin v'ein lanu le'echol. We've got a big problem, says Rabbi Yochanan. We have a table. We have a good piece of steak. We even have a knife. But there's nothing to eat. As Rabbi Yochanan, that's a Talmudic expression for the table seems to be set, but we're unable to close the deal. Meaning, in other words, we know we have all the pieces here, but we have to rearrange the pieces to make the information. In other words, this doesn't make sense. Rabbi Shmuel Amir Tarvahu. So therefore, Rabbi Shmuel have to reverse course. And Rabbi Shmuel say, Lo Olam HaReisha. Let's go back for a second. Maybe this last phrase of the Mishnah, that if she's eating the dates, she's not in the Kudeshas until one of the dates is a Shavar Pruta, is not going on the Seifa, but rather it's going on the Reisha. V'lomi boi kamar. Now what does lomi boi mean? Lomi boi manachas de'iika Shavar Pruta in ilo lo. So Rabbi Yochanan goes without saying that what? It, remember, case Reisha is, he's kachli b'tamrazu. So it goes without saying that what? That if the dates are literally, she gets the dates and she puts them on the table, that she's not going to become a kudesh until one of the dates has a shavet pruta. That's obvious. However, again, the Gemara says, avalocheles, I would have thought the following. I would have thought, Rabbi Yochanan, that if she's eating the dates as she gets them, then what? Umekarva haniyasa, which means that what, Rabbi Yochanan? If she eats the dates as she gets them, then what does that tell us? She's getting hana, immediate hana from the dates as they come in. So I would have thought what? Emra, gamra umekanya nafsha. I would have thought that what? Even though a woman knows that in order to become a kudeshes, the item has to be a shavapruta, but maybe since she's getting immediate gratification, immediate hana from the date, that's what? She'll be mocking herself, even for what? Even for less than a shavapruta. Kamash malon, that is not the case. Kamash on the Mishnah says, no, the only way it works is if one of the dates is a shavapruta. So the novelty, therefore, of the last clause is that even if she's consuming the dates as they come in, and the havamina, therefore, is since she's getting immediate hana, maybe she'll go ahead and she'll forgive the shavapruta requirement and say, I'm getting immediate hana, I therefore give myself over in kiddushin. Kamash malon, no. In order for kiddushin to work, there must be one independent date that has a shavapruta value.
I just want to interrupt
the flow. Rabbi Ami Amar the Olam HaSeifa. Rabbi Ami says no. At the end of the day, it goes on the Seifa. Rabbi will say, so remember again, Rav and Shmuel just interpreted the last phrase of the Mishnah as referring to the Reisha. Rabbi Ami is going to say, no, it's going to go on the Seifa. And what does it mean when you say that one of the dates must have a shavapruta Ad shehei ba'achrona shaver pruta. Oh, so we'll say, so what are we talking about over here? Listen to this. So what the Gemara is suggesting is the following. Remember, now we're going to, what's the Sifa case? His kachli b'tamra zu'u b'zu'u b'zu'u b'zu'u. Now remember, so says the Mishnah, if what? If she's eating the dates as they can. So remember, under normal circumstances, what's the halacha of bezu, bezu, bezu? What's the halacha? As long as the total, right, is a pruta, that's then you're okay. So he gives her 10 dates, fine. As long as they add up to be a pruta, that's fine. However, says the Mishnah, if she is eating the dates as they come in, then what? In order for the kiddushin to work, then what's the halacha? The last one must be a pruta. Why must the last one be a pruta? Because the last one ultimately that she, because remember, if she's eating them as they come in, then the maisa again, then she's eating them as they come in, so she can't be mikudeshus with any of them. Why? Because at the end of the day, it's a milva. It's only if the last date that she receives is a shaveh pruta, then Rabbi say what? Listen to this chap. If the last one she receives is a pruta, then what? It's not a milva. Why isn't it a milva? Because it represents a self-contained unit of kiddushin. If that's the case, then ultimately, again, she'll be mekudesha. So both sides. So what the Gemara is saying is the following. It really is a fascinating case. But see, you have to understand also that it could be. You'll say to yourself, like, this is ridiculous. Like, why are we spending so much time with this? But say, so first of all, it's not ridiculous. It's Torah. It doesn't matter whether you understand it or not. It's Torah kiddusha, so it's never ridiculous. But I will say, also understand something. You know, so to us, you say to yourself, just give her the fashtunkin date that's worth a pruta. Right. So you understand also, again, in poverty-stricken situations, so lemaisa, again, you could have a mitzias. You see, you think of this case of bezu, 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 is like one date, two dates, three dates, four dates, just give it the dates, right? But also, you understand that if you could have a situation where the maisa, let's say, doesn't have a shavar pruta. Say doesn't have a shavar pruta. So literally, it's like marriage layaway. I'm giving her. So also, I'm just pointing out to you, you know, again, we live in a very different time. In a Baruch Shem, we still, unfortunately, poverty, you know, the Gemara says, poverty is a fixture. Poverty will never go away, the Gemara says. But despite that, again, the level of affluence, societal affluence we have is certainly unparalleled. But Lamaisa, again, the Mishnah brings down a case like this because you absolutely could have a situation of an ani, of mamish and ani. So in any event, also what the Gemara is saying is like this. Bottom line is we have three cases now. Case number one is where a man says to a woman, his kachli b'tamrazu. That case is easy. What's that case? That case is lemaisa, again, one of the dates must have a shavar pruta. And according to Rabbi Shmuel, even if she's eating the dates as they're coming in, one of the dates must have a shavar pruta. So, because I might have thought, according to Rabbi Shmuel, that if she's eating them, since she's getting immediate hana, maybe she's willing to forgive the shavar pruta criteria. Kamashmala, no. That when you make independent kiddushin articulations, one of those dates must have a shavar pruta. That's the easy case. Case number two of his kachli bezu, 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 where again, Abba said, the halacha is that what? If she's not eating them as they come in, then what? What's the halacha? As long as they combine to form a shavar pruta, she's good to go. If, however, she's eating them as they come in, then what's the halacha, Abba say? The halacha is that lamaisa, the last one, must be a shavar pruta in order to affect kiddushin. That's how we understand the cases. No. The last one.
No, it should be.
I'm sorry?
Until you hit one in the series that's a shavar pruta.
Oh, correct. Right, correct. Until you get to the first one that's a shavar pruta, then she's done. That is correct. The issue over here, right, correct. This is an important point. Right, last one does not mean that he gave her two and number six was a pruta. And no. Once he gets to one that is a shavar pruta, then we're done. But because remember, the issue over here is that she's eating them as they come in. So the problem is she's eating them as they come in. Each of those less than... Remember, here's the issue. Because she's eating them, we have a problem with them combining. Why? Because each of those dates as they come in is a milva. But once he gives her, once he get that jackpot date, which is the shavar pruta date, then lemaisa, again, he's mekadesh her, and that's no longer kiddushin b'halva, because the kiddushin takes place literally that moment she gets in her hand. Even if she subsequently eats it, doesn't...
His das is for the whole unit.
I'm sorry?
His das is for the whole unit. His das is not just for that
correct. Unit. Correct. That's fine, except here's the problem. If she's eating them, they're no longer here. So once it's mitzaref, the issue we're running into over here is, to be mitzarif those dates into a unit is problematic because it's a halva. That's the issue. So therefore, again, remember, the tziruf part works as long as she's not eating it. So she's not eating it, and she's lining up the dates as they're coming in. Perfect. Once they're mitzarif to a pruta, she's mikudesh. So I don't have any problem with that. The issue is when she's ingesting the dates and they're no longer here. That's the issue. So then the Gemara says, that's not going to work because that's Kiddushin b'halva. You can't be Mekadosh with a halva. Because remember, once she's eaten it, then what? Then what? It's no longer here. So let's play this out. Let's say after date number three, she says, you know what? I changed my mind. Right? The indigestion is getting to me. I don't want to marry you anymore. Right? So what's the halacha? She has to pay him back. She's certainly not married. She has to pay him back. So already again, that tells you that the consumed dates are halva. As we're going to in just a moment, you can't be mekadeshim with a halva. So again, Rosa, I want to be clear. There's two separate cases here. The problem here is not with combining dates. The problem here, so remember, if she's lining up the dates and they combine, that's fine. The problem is when she eats the dates. Then the dates transform into a halva. Once they transform into a halva, you can't mekadesh with a halva. That's why, again, Rav and Shmuel will say that lamaisa only works if one of the dates themselves are worth a pruta. So we'll say, look at the Gemara says, so we'll say we learn three things from here. Number one, that you can't go ahead and be mekadesh with a halva. That's number one. Rashi says, So we'll say, number one, we learn that you can't be mekadesh with alone. That's number one. We'll say, which we already learned before, right? We learned this in the case of where what? Of where, let's say, I lend a woman money, and then what? I say, I forgive the debt. So remember, that doesn't work. So we'll say, remember, the novelty over here is that once she consumes the date, that's money she owes him. That's money she... We'll say, you understand, this is Gil's point. It's a very important one, which is, remember, here's the chilek. When the dates are sitting on the table and they're lined up, so they're all here, that's the easy case of tzeruf. Then they all combine. When she eats the date, the date is obviously no longer, and now she's on the hook for that date. Right, meaning again, should the kiddushin not go through, she owes that. Once I know that she owes him a date, then I can no longer be mitzarif that date to the value of a pruta, because now that has changed from a tool of kiddushin to a halva. To a loan, and you came mekadesh with halva. Give me 1 second. Just finish the last two. Shamina, hamekadesh milva pruta daita pruta. Furthermore, we'll say we see that if you're mekadesh a woman with a milva and a pruta, that the das is on the pruta. Now, listen, what's the chav? Where did we learn that from? Because that's this case. He's giving her a whole bunch of dates. And what? But so there's a halva. And there's one date that's a pruta. His das is on the pruta. Ushmamina, last one, ma'os ba'amuchozun. Now, we'll say this is our next figure, which is going to be great. And right, and we also learn from here that what? Ma'os ba'amuchozun, which means what? If a man gives a woman money with the intention of affecting kiddushin, but the kiddushin does not materialize, so what happens? What's the halacha? She has to return the money. Look at Rashi just a moment. If a man gives a woman, I don't evaluate the intention of affecting Kiddushin, and the Kiddushin for some reason doesn't work, we don't say that what? He says, you know what? You keep it. No. You don't keep it. You return it back. The ring is even easier, because the truth is, a ring is not given for Kiddushin. Engagement in halacha means nothing. Means nothing. So if a couple gets engaged and then somebody breaks off the engagement, she absolutely has to give him back the ring. Absolutely. There's a different discussion about what's called other gifts that are given for courtship. Do courtship gifts have to be returned or not? It's a big discussion. Halacha. So actually, it's called Kiddushin, Kiddushin, Lo Amrinon, Ma'os Matana, Elipi Kadon V'Chozrin, Behind the Kar Le'acha Ochalas V'Shoron. So we'll say, so we also see from here, from where do we learn that out from? From the fact that what? From the fact that, let's say, in the case where she's eating the dates, if, let's say, three dates in, half a pruta in, he decides, they don't want to get married, what's the halacha? She has to pay him back the dates. So from here, you see that money that was given to originally affect Kiddushin, but did not actually materialize in that way, that money must be returned.
How do you know? So why is the halva mitzarif with the the Shavapruta date when she accumulated a loan, and it, that did not affect anything, and he gave her
a pruta.
That's a separate transaction.
That is correct.
So he gives it, becomes a matana. What is,
becomes a matana. It transforms into a matana afterwards. Mm-hmm. Oh, because the assumption was given in the context of Kiddushin. Okay. That is correct. That,
there
that,
is
that, there, no, it's not mitzdarif. Because the Kiddushin is not affected by that halva. Right? The Kiddush, that halva becomes a matana. The Kiddushin is affected by the one date that was Shavar Pruta. That is better be a matana. That is correct. That is correct. The first of many.
She has to give back. How does she know how much to give back?
Well, remember, they must be tracking. They must be tracking, because at the end of the day, the setup over here is he's being Mekadesh with multiple dates. So there must be some assumed value for each date.
Even though she ate it.
However they're going to value, that's a Choshen Mishpat question, which doesn't concern us right now. How evaluate the date? They'll figure it out.
I was thinking, if you were talking about poverty-stricken area, it could even be that there are two witnesses during this whole process. It could even be you could have
I'd
two
say
guys
more.
Standing by and saying,
there have to be two witnesses. Correct, 100%. Right, somebody
it's gone, it's in her
right.
Like, how
somebody could be actively tracking the value of each date. Einachinami. Yeah. So I'll say, just so you see. Just one thing out, you know, this is the beauty of Gemara. How, you know, you see a Mishnah like this, you say, oh my gosh, right? But again, it's fascinating, fascinating. So good. All right, in any event, says the Gemara, Itmar, we'll say another very interesting case. HaMekadesh Achoso. Now this is going to get exciting. So what happens? Right? So a man is Mekadesh his sister. Right? Just like West Virginia, right? So what happens? A man is Mekadesh his sister. So what happens? We'll say, so remember, so now, when a man is Mekadesh his sister, one thing is clear, which is what? A person knows he can't marry his sister. Right? Meaning, it's the Gemara, you know, we'll say, there are certain things, a Kohen marries a Grusha, you could say he's a Kohen Amaretz. Kohen Gadol marries an Almana, Kohen Gadol Amaretz. Okay, you could have such a case like that. Marrying your sister, everyone knows. Everyone knows. So what happens? Say itmar mekadesh achoso. If one goes in, is mekadesh his sister. Rav amar maos chosrim. So Rav says the sister must return the money. In other words, such a transaction like this is obviously invalid. So the sister has to return the money. Shmuel amar maos matana. Shmuel says we view the money ultimately again as a gift. Rav amar maos chosrim. So why does Rav say the money goes back to the man? So everyone knows that you can't marry your sister. But what happens? What does he really want? He wants his sister to watch the money, right? He wants his sister to watch the. So we'll say again, this maybe makes more sense if it's an object as well. See, he gives her a watch. He wants her to watch the object. So what does he say? So he wants to watch as a bikadon. So wouldn't it be just a little bit easier for him just to say to her, would you mind watching my car? I'm going out of town, or, you know, my watch? So Savra lo makabla. So it's just a little bit of a strange svara. So he said the guy's concerned that what's going to happen? She's not going to accept it. In other words, that lamaisa again, lamaisa, that when he says to her, can you watch over my bar of gold, because I'm going out of town, she's not going to want to accept responsibility. So what does he do? Instead, he goes in, he hands it to her, and he says, "Are at mikudesh asli bizavzu." So he's obviously not being mekadisher because he can't be mekadisher's sister, but he's giving it over to her as a pikadon. Okay. So interestingly enough, apparently what you'd have to say over here is that lamaisa he put it into her hands, and he says to her, "At mikudesh asli bizavzu." So when he says that type of lashon, he's giving her responsibility over the pikadon. She's already holding it. Shmuel Savar, Maos Matana. So this seems a little bit more mistaber. Shmuel says that no, when he gives her the money, then it's a matana. Adam Yodea Shein Kiddushin Tovsin Bachoso. Every person knows that Kiddushin doesn't take effect with his sister. The Gamar Vinasan Lashum Matana. And ultimately, again, he's giving her the money as a matana. The name Allah Lashum Matana. Why doesn't he just say, take it as a matana? Savar Kasif Allah Milsa. Because she's going to be embarrassed. Right? People are sometimes embarrassed to accept the matana. So instead of giving it to her as a matana, he says, Ariat Nikudesh Asli Bizavzu. Shabbos says, so this is fascinating. So what's happening over here is the following. We'll say, you understand the Gadlus over here. So Shmuel's going to say this. A man goes over to her sister. He knows he can't be Mekadesh his sister. So what does he do? He makes almost like a little bit of like a joke, right? And he gives her, Hariat Mekudesh Asli Bekasavzu, and he gives her the money. And everybody's laughing. But what has he effectively done? He's given her a gift without having to make her feel like she has accepted a gift. And I was going to say, it's actually, it's an incredible, you know, the Shulchan Aruch brings down. in Hilchos Tzedakah. You know, first of all, obviously we all know the highest level of tzedakah is not giving someone money, but it's giving them a job. That's the highest level of tzedakah. But if you can't give someone a job for whatever the reason, the goal, obviously, the entire thread of Hilchos Tzedakah is you do whatever you can without making a person feel like they're accepting tzedakah. So that's the goal. You know, there's so much of tzedakah is not just the funds that you give, but it's giving in a way that maintains dignity. That's the most important use of tzedakah. So according to Shul, it's happening over as a fog. Everyone knows that you gave him a kaddish his sister. So what are you doing? You're making a little chozik, you're making a little joke over here, but the goal is you need to get her money. But instead of telling her straight out, here's a gift, and which could potentially embarrass her, you make a little bit of a jocular setup over here, and you go ahead and you give your mekadesh her. Okay, we'll say, which by the way, halacha lemaisa, this is how we paskin like Shmuel, that if indeed a man, by the way, this is not just your sister, this is with any person who everyone knows kiddushin is not tofsin. Now, obviously, this only works in certain situations, like your mother or your sister, where everyone knows that you can't be mekadesh this woman. So, but lemaisa, if you go out and you say arach nikudesh asli bekasavzu, we view the money ultimately as a matana. Incredible. So, masiv ravina, ravina raises a kasha. Now, is another interesting case. Masiv ravina hamafish chalaso kemach. Einu chala. I'm making dough, so I have an obligation to separate that part of the dough for the kohen. Now, the obligation of hafrosh haschala rabosa is only on dough. In other words, you can't be mafresh chala from flour. That's the halacha. That's the sreishis arisosechem. An arisa is something that's mixed, is the dough. So let's say instead of separating from the dough, I separated from the kemach, I separated from the flour. So what's the halacha? So eino chalo. So first of all, it doesn't have a designation of chalo. And Rashi says, and furthermore, the gezel biat kohen. Wow. The halacha is that what? If I give that flour to the kohen must return it back to me. And if he doesn't return it back to me, it's like stolen item. Rashi says, gezel biat kohen im eino machzir labailim. If the kohen does not give back that challah to the owners, that flour to the owners, it's gezel. So Mar says, wow. Vam, I guess we had coin. I don't understand why is it gezel? Name Adam Yodeshim Afishin Challah Kemach. So this is another thing that everybody knows. Everyone knows that you separate challah from dough. Right, so meaning everyone knows this. Right? So again, why don't you say a person knows that you don't separate a challah from dough? Benasan l'shem matana. So we'll say, you hear the kasha? So Ravina says the same way that if I go ahead and I go over to my sister and I say, "Ha'at nekudesh asli bekesef zu," everyone knows you can't be mekadesh your sister, and therefore, what am I doing? I'm giving her a gift. So I'm going to say the same thing over here. I give the coin flour, and I say, "Coin, here's your challah." Everyone knows that challah doesn't come from flour. Challah only comes from dough. So why am I giving him the flour? Matana. Matana. But remember again, it's the same logic, by the way. Let's say I have a poor Cohen friend. Poor Cohen friend that doesn't know. Cohen friend who's poor. Right? A Cohen friend who is poor. I'm already giving him my truma. I'm already giving him a little bit extra. So I give him flour and I say, here's your challah. Everyone knows that challah doesn't come from flour. But why don't I just say that I'm giving him as a matana? But yet, what does the Braisa say? The Braisa says, literally, number one, it's not challah. Fine. That I can live with. But what else? What else? Yeah. It's gezel. That literally, again, the coin has to give it back to me, and if he doesn't give it back to me, it's theft. To which the Gemara says, "Shiny hasam did not bekor v'mine." No. Here, the reason we have to go, the reason we force the coin to go ahead and give it back on both sides, why? Because if you don't, you could actually have churva. Literally means like a catastrophic event. What in other words, we'll say that it could be a real halachma. What's halachma? Listen to this. Zimnin the isle the coin parchas mechamish rebei kemach. Because we'll say sometimes the coin may have less than 5/4 of a kav. Now, what does it mean, 5/4 of a kav? 1 1/4 kav. We'll say the halacha is that a dough is only chayiv in challah if it has a 1 1/4 kavim of flour. So a kohen might have a dough that's made from less than 1 1/4 kav of flour, v'hai. And then what happens? I give him this little extra flour as well. Let's say my extra flour that I give him pushes him over the 1 1/4 kav. Now, we'll say, you know, the halacha is a kohen also has a mefresh challah. Right? So now what happens? So we'll play this out. So the kohen is kneading a dough that's less than 1 1/4 kav. If it's less than 1 1/4 kav, then what? Then what? There's no chayibav hafrashas challah. So I, the well-meaning neighbor, come over and say, kohen, here is another quarter kav of flour, and it's challah. So what does the kohen do? He dumps that flour into his already existing flour, which now means what? He has more than 1 1/4 kav of flour, which means what? That the dough he's making is subject to the laws of challah. However, now he mixes it all together. But he figures, I don't have an obligation to separate out challah here. Why? Why? Because the quarter kav of flour that Silber gave me is challah flour. There's no double dipping by challah. If I go ahead, let's say regular case. Let me clarify this. Regular case. I'm mafresh challah. I separate out a piece of my dough. I bring it to the kohen. Does the kohen have an obligation to separate challah from that piece of challah dough? No. It's just that if there's untithed dough that the kohen's making, he's obligated to mafresh challah from that. So watch. What are we concerned about over here? The kohen is making a dough that's less than 1 1/4 kav of flour. He's using less than one, which means that the dough that's going to produce is not subject to the laws of challah. I come over and I say, my friend Kohen, here's another quarter of a kav of flour, and this is challah. It's challah already, which means what? You don't have to tithe it again. He dumps in that quarter of a kav into his mixing bowl of flour. He now has more than 1 1/4 kav. He mixes it all together, but he figures to himself, I don't have to be mafresh challah. Why? Why? Because again, all I have is less than 1 1/4 kav of challah of bowl flour. Therefore, again, the dough that I'm going to produce is not subject to challah. Even though there's more than 1 1/4 kav of flour, the quarter kav that I gave him, I told him was challah. Therefore, he's going to think that the dough does not have to have challah removed from it. The kasavar niskana isaso the asila mechle betivla, and he's going to end up eating tevel. I have Yimartzeb. But 1 second. But one second. Every kohen knows. You just said before that a kohen knows that what? That you can't be mafish challah from flour. So when I, the well-meaning Yisrael neighbor, come over and say, my friend, my neighbor kohen, here's some challah flour. Kohen knows, wink, wink. I'm just giving him a matana, but it's not really challah. To which the Gemara says, yodea ve'en yodea. So a person knows, but they don't know. What does this mean? So I know that you can't be mafresh challah from flour, but I don't know the reason for that. I figure, what's the reason why I can't be mafresh challah from flour? So I will say, if you would ask a regular person, everyone knows that you can't separate out challah from flour, but if you ask people, why is that? So people will normally assume, what's the reason for that? I will say, because you don't want to be matriach the kohen, right? Because why should the kohen have to go ahead and now make the dough? This way, again, you're mafresh challah from already established dough, so that the kohen could just take it and bake it off. V'tircha the kohen achilase. I said, but maybe the kohen is mochel over here. So because the kohen is mochel over here, therefore, again, the challah will in fact be challah. So we'll say, therefore, the concern over here is that as much as everyone knows that you can't be mafresh challah from flour, people don't know the reason. People assume the reason is tircha of the kohen. And if the kohen is mochel on the tircha, it's mochel on the tircha. Therefore, what's the halacha? If a kohen gets flour as challah, what's the halacha, Rabosai? He has to return it. It's gezel biado. He has to return it. He has to give it back. Because you see from here again, there are some real halachic problems that could result if he keeps that flour. So why don't you say instead, let the flour have the status of truma. Let it be considered like truma. And therefore, again, he can't eat it until he's mafresh challah from it. Let it be mafresh challah from somewhere else. Let it be considered regular truma that then has to have challah taken from it. So look at Rashi says, "V'tehavi truma v'lo tochal achedia achiyifro shalechal makomacher." Lame iskikul achziro. Why do we force the coin to give back the flour? Machmas chor v'zu. Yomur amafresh chalaso kemach harizechalo gimura. I'm sorry. Harihichalo. The gemar v'nasal shematan. V'lo it's fine. V'lo tochal achiyifro. It's fine. So the gemara says the following: Milo tinan. Did we not learn min hanokov ashen or nokov? teruma v'lo tochal ad sheyotzi aleha teruma ma'aser makom acher. So I said, did we not learn a similar case? So I said, again, we talked about this a little bit, about an atzitz nakov v'shiro nakov. So an atzitz nakov is a perforated flower pot. The halacha is that anything that grows in an atzitz nakov is considered to be attached to the ground. On the other hand, atzitz shiro nakov is a non-perforated flower pot. We'll say an atzitz shiro nakov is considered to be detached from the ground. So technically speaking, things that grow in an atzitz she'eno nakov, a non-perforated flower pot, are not chayiv, are not subject to all of the tithes. So let's look at the following case. Min ha'nakov al she'eno nakov. Let's say, we'll say you separated out shumas and maisrus from a perforated flower pot on produce that grew in a non-perforated flower pot. So what's the halacha? Truma. What you separated out is valid truma. However, v'lo tochal ad sheyotzia le truma ma'aser makom acher. But you should really go ahead and separate out additional trumas and ma'asers. Why Rabbi say? Because since you separated out from produce that is chayiv on produce that is not chayiv, what we say is your designation stands, but you should really go back and retithe. Now, why are we bringing this up? Why are we bringing this case up, Rabbi? Because what do you see from here? You see from here that you could put a designation on something, but still require you to rectify the produce from an obligatory source. So why don't we say the same thing over here? When I give my Kohen neighbor flour, and I tell him, here, this is challah. So we'll say, what's the problem? What's the problem? Everyone knows it's not challah. Why? Why? Challah comes from dough, not from flour. So fine. So what did the Mishnah say? Bryce said, Kohen has to give it back. It's like stolen property. Why do you have to do that? Just say the flour is like truma, and let him separate out challah on this truma from somewhere else. And as we'll say, now when you say somewhere else, by the way, somewhere else could just mean, just let him make it into dough. And once he makes it into dough, then what? He'll separate challah from that. Why does he have to give back the flour? Just say, let him treat it like truma, let him make it into dough, let him separate challah from that. Or if you're worried about immediacy, let him separate challah from somewhere else right now. To which the Gemara says, after all, we see this in the case of Atitz Nakov Hashem Arnokov. To which the Gemara says, betray mini tzois, bechad mana lo tzois. The difference of Yerabos in the case of Atitz Nakov is, when it comes to two different utensils, people will listen. But in one item, people often don't listen. B'bais, and the other possibility is, the olam coin meets a sayis. In reality, the coin will listen. Ubal habayis, sorry, bekasar bal habayis, niskana isaso. So we'll say the issue over here really is the coin will listen, but the coin will assume that the balabayis took care of this particular flower, therefore the flower is ready to eat. But you just said before, the Rabbi will say, there's no concern that the Kohen is going to just eat this flour without taking challah from it. Why? Because everyone knows that you can't separate that flour, challah from flour. To which the Gemara answers, Yodea ve'inu Yodea. He knows and he doesn't know. Yodea she'en mafishin challah kemach. He knows that you can't be mafish challah from flour. Ve'inu Yodea, disavar time amai, because he doesn't know, because he assumes that. What's the reason why we don't separate our flour from kemach? Mishum tircha the kohen, because of us, we don't want to be matriach the kohen to then have to make the flour into dough. But tircha the kohen kibla ale. But ultimately, again, this kohen will say, I'm willing to be mekabel the tircha. So we'll say, so interestingly enough, people know the halacha, but people don't know the rationale for the halacha. People assume they know a different rationale for the halacha. So the Gemara says, v'tehem et shuma, v'tehem et shuma, v'yachsav et yitshom. But I don't understand, again, so therefore the Gemara says, in order to avoid any type of mistaken situations, we say the coin has to return the flour. But why do we do that? Why don't we just say v'tehem et shuma, let the flour be treated as shuma, v'yachzor v'yitshom, and you'll go and let it be treated as shuma, and what? Let him go back and retithe the flour. After all, says the Gemara, Milo Tzna, did we not learn? Mishaino Nakov al Hanakov. Again, we'll go back to the Atzitz Nakov case. If you separate out Chumas and Maestros from the perforated flower pot for the produce that grew in the unperforated flower pot, what's the halacha Chuma? The designation stands, V'yachzor V'yitrum, but you have to go back and re-Truma. Hokim no betray money. So we'll say, remember, we already established this. That's taking place in two utensils. And betray money tzois, b'chad mana lo tzois. With two utensils, ultimately, again, people listen. But with one utensil, we're assuming that people don't understand the distinctions. V'lo tzois, is that true? People don't listen with two different utensils. V'hotan abos, listen to this case. Hatorim kishos v'nimtza mara. If a person was tithing cucumbers, kishos, by the way, it's gourd, anything in the gourd family. So people were tithing cucumbers, v'nimtza mara, and it found that the cucumber that he tithed was bitter. It was spoiled. So what's talach? Or avatiach, or he was tithing melons. The nimtzei saruach. One of them was seen to be spoiled. So truma. The halacha is the designation works. The yachzer v'yitrum. But you have to go back and what? Tithe again. So both says, here's another interesting example. The halacha is if you tithe rotten produce, so you, that's not good truma. You have to tithe regular produce. What's the halacha? The halacha is what you tithe is tithe. It's still truma. But what? You have to go back and tithe again. You have to go back and tithe again. So we'll say, so what do you see from there? What do you see from here? You see, look at Rashi. Rashi, the v'yachzer v'yitrum, first wide line. I'm sorry, actually, this is the wrong Rashi. Fine. So the point of your Rabosai is what? We allow... What's the chap in this case? The chap in this case is the truma you separated is what? Is not good truma. So, but yet, we allow the designation to stand. We just force you to go back and tithe again. So why don't we say the same thing over here? That's what? When you get the flour, what should be the halacha, Rabosai? Let it count as truma. But what? You have to go back and still take challah ultimately from this flour. In one of two ways. Either... when you make the flour into a dough, you have to separate out truma. Or if you're worried about immediacy, just separate challah from elsewhere. Also, remember the halacha by challah is, technically speaking, you could take challah she'eino min hamukaf. You could take challah, technically speaking, from another dough, a different dough than the one you're actively making. So why don't we just say, let the flour remain truma, let the flour remain truma, and just separate out challah. The same way that if you're tithing cucumbers, and you ended up tithing a rotten cucumber, that truma is not a good truma. But yet we say what? The designation stands, which you just have to go back and retithe. To which the Gemara says, no. Shiny Hassam, it's different by the case of the cucumbers. Why? The midoraisa truma alyi. Because we're also saying, in the case of the cucumbers, when you tithe the rotten cucumber, technically speaking, the designation is valid. How so? Midrabi iloi. How do we know that if you tithe from rotten produce on good produce, that the truma still good? How do you know that if you separate out rotten produce for truma, that the truma is still good? Do not bear upon yourself a sin when you separate out truma. So we'll say, what is that referring to? Rabbi Loi suggests that referring to separating out rotten truma. That don't go ahead and separate out rotten truma, and by doing so, bring a sin upon yourself. So the Gemara says, "Meino kadosh, nesios chet lama." So we'll say, but again, if the rotten produce is not really consecrated, then ultimately, again, where is there bringing upon sin upon oneself? So from here we see what Rabbi say. So you understand what the drasha is. The fact that the pasuk says "Lo tisva alav chet baranchem," it's the fact that it says that do not bring sin upon you by separating out rotten produce for truma tells you what? That the designation works. Because if the designation didn't work, then what? Then it's not truma. But the designation does work, and therefore the Torah is heeding me, the Torah is warning me, do not separate out rotten produce as truma. Therefore, I will say, what the Gemara says is the following. You can't. So understand the flow over here. What the Gemara wanted to suggest was, here's what we know. What we know is that if you give a Kohen flour as challah, the halacha is that the Kohen must return the flour, and if he doesn't do so, then what? It's like gezel, it's like theft. So the Gemara says, but I don't understand, why shouldn't it be like this case of truma? If I go and I separate out rotten cucumbers as truma on my cucumber crop, people say, what's the halacha? The halacha is the rotten cucumbers are truma, but I have to separate out truma again. So why don't we say like this case? Let the flour be truma, let the flour be consecrated, but tell the Kohen that what? Tell the Kohen that he has to go back and take challah again. Either challah from that same batch when he makes that flour into dough, or from a different batch. Which the Gemara says, you can't compare the two cases. Why, Rabosai? Because when you make flour into challah, what's the status of that designation? It's totally void. It's nothing. It's absolutely meaningless. Masha Inkin, when you make rotten cucumbers truma, what's the halacha, Rabosai? The halacha is, technically speaking, it's truma. So again, we don't like that truma, but technically speaking, your designation worked. That's why, again, the halacha says the rotten cucumbers are still truma, but you have to go back and you have to retithe. Therefore, Rabosai, we're going to step over here for today, but we're ending off still mid-thoughts. In other words, we still don't know exactly what to do with the halacha. So here's what we do know. What we do know is that although everyone knows that you can't separate out flour as challah, what don't people know? What don't people know? The reason for it. They don't know the why. So they assume the why is because of the tircha of the Kohen. Well, if it's about tircha, and I'm a Kohen, then what? What could I say? I'm mochel on the tircha. And Abba said, obviously, as we saw, if Akohen thinks that he can be mochel on the tircha, and then he ends up mixing what he thinks is already chalad flour into unchalad flour, and it yields, it gives him more than a quarter of a kav of a mixture, he might think that he doesn't have to take chalad from it, but in fact, he can. So lemaisa, again, that seems to be why, therefore, the Braisa deals with this in such a stark way, saying that literally, even if you give the Kohen ultimately this flour, the Kohen must return it, and if he doesn't return it, ultimately, again, it's going to be like Gezel in his hand. So we'll stop over for today. We'll pick up with Rava's interpretation of this case in Meretz Hashem tomorrow.
The bad truma starts off as bad truma. We're here, you're trying to change it.
That is correct. Meaning, in the case... In